Good morning, friends. This is Candace from Autism One Radio. Today, my guests are Michael Smith, the Legislative Director for Autism Action Network, and John Gilmore, Autism Action Network. And they are doing work in New York. Good morning, gentlemen.
Hi, Candace.
Hi, Candace.
So I understand y'all had your event yesterday.
Yeah, every year we do an event called the Autism Community Walk and Resource Fair. And it's a little bit different than a lot of walks. I mean, most walks, I'm sure everyone's been a walk for all kinds of different, you know, causes. But it's usually a walk that is benefiting only one group. This one is a collaborative effort. A number of different groups come together to work together and kind of spread common messages and sort of collaborate and, you know, for fundraising and all, just to make it a fun event. And this year was particularly kind of a little bit different because since so many of the kids, you know, in our community have been kicked out of school, you know, 26,000 kids who had religious exemptions in New York. And also a large number of kids with medical exemptions have lost their medical exemptions as
well.
Yeah,
they're medically fragile.
Yeah, and, you know, I think a lot of people know that New York voted to repeal their religious exemptions. But then on top of it, our Department of Health came in with these absolutely draconian new regulations for medical exemptions. Basically, to get a medical exemption in New York, you're child would have had to have basically had a anaphylactic near-death experience that was admitted to by the doctor that gave the vaccine in the first place. And if you haven't got that, it's going to be potentially quite difficult to get a medical exemption. So a long story short is a lot of kids are out of school, so we want to turn it to a fun event for these kids, and it was sort of like a Halloween-themed a harvest festival type thing, but at the same time, we had a lot of organizations working together, like the Autism Action Network, the Foundation for Autism Information and Research, First Freedoms, which has been very involved in some of the lawsuits here in New York, New York Alliance for Vaccine Rights, Documenting Hope, TACA was there, the National Autism Association's New York chapter was there. And then a bunch of, you know, service providers, healthcare providers, other organizations that sort of serve the autism community were there. And so, yeah, it was a real good event. We probably had 500 to 1,000 people there. And anyway, that's what we did yesterday. So
maybe that's amazing.
Yeah,
and
it's our fourth year.
A shout out to Michael. He sent me a shirt last year from your event. So thank you so much.
I did, yes.
Yeah, and I wore it yesterday. Thank you.
That was great. And I don't know if you want to share the story behind you having the shirt, but that was so cool. I just felt so compelled to send you that shirt. But anyway, we had such a great day yesterday. And like I said, the funds that we raise are going through to a number of different initiatives, not only to protect medical exemptions and religious exemptions, but a lot of autism-specific programs. I just finished my documentary, Autism, the Missing Piece, where we interviewed a lot of autism experts around the country, a lot of parents, both Democrat and Republicans, who were elected officials, who were responsible for really shaping autism policy in their states. One of the people in your neck of the woods, Rick Rollins, is featured in it. Rick, as everybody knows, the former Secretary of the California State Senate, founder of the Mind Institute, and probably one of the top autism, probably the top autism lobbyists in the state of California. But our Republican nominee for governor in New York State, Mark Molinaro, he has a daughter with autism, and you know, a lot of focus on the co-occurring medical conditions in autism. And the documentary is going to be focused on having these showings and having legislators, public health authorities, and educational authorities come to the documentary with a panel afterwards. The panel will feature a lot of these people that were featured in the film. Will be there also, and hopefully we can get these state legislatures around the country and in Washington to get more of a focus on the issue. And so the walk that we had yesterday assisted with that, assisted with what we're doing in Albany. And I'd like to just come back to the medical exemptions. One of the things a lot of people are not aware of is the fact that over the last 5 years, John Gilmore did this Freedom of Information Act request showing that in New York City over the past 5 years, of all the medical exemptions that were given, 54% of them were denied by the New York City Department of Education. So we have administrators that are overriding a treating physician. And what we think is happening with this is really medical malpractice. You have administrators who have never seen the patient making medical decisions about them. And where this has led to in our own state education department is if it's denied, you can appeal it to the state education commissioner, and the state education commissioner has no medical experience, and she is denying a bunch of these, and she was just fired or removed, whatever it was. This just came down on late Friday afternoon. We've had two New York State education commissioners, the top person really in our education system, removed within the last 8 weeks. So, you know, we're hopeful that we can get something done. We can get these kids back in school. It is an absolute horrific time for families right now who are just being ripped apart by their kids being pulled out of school with no notice. And so we're hoping we can stay focused on this to be able to make some positive impact going into the new year where, you know, more vaccine mandates are on the chopping block. And this is nothing short of the medical rape of our children, and we have to be focused, and we have to be willing to really strategically plan this if we're going to stop this, what I would call the medical rape of our children that is occurring.
Yes. So let's back up just a little bit. The missing piece, when do you expect that to premiere, your documentary?
It's finished up right now. I'm definitely going to be showing it in the new year. That's when it's on. You know, I'll be coming out to California. I'd like to show it out there and in other, you know, key markets. We're going to start with the Northeast, with New York City, New Jersey, Long Island, and Boston, and then go from there. We want people to be aware. One of the areas of the documentary is the fact that the CDC has changed the methodology and, featuring the documentary filter features Dr. Walter Zaharodny. He's really the top epidemiologist on autism. He counts all the rates in New Jersey, where the rates are the highest in the country at 1 in 34. And under the new methodology with the CDC, their rates wouldn't be 1 in 34. Their rates would be more like 1 in 50 or 1 in 55. They've changed the methodology, and it's going to make it appear that if the rates of autism are going down when they're actually rapidly increasing, and that we know that the highest rates of increase are among the kids with the highest level of impairment, and the lowest rates of increase in autism are among the children with mild or subtle forms of autism.
Would that constitute more CDC fraud?
Could you repeat that again? I couldn't hear you.
With the methodology that they changed, would that be considered fraud at the CDC? More fraud?
Well, it's not fraud, but they're not doing active case finding right now. What they do right now, where they get the accurate data, is they take both the medical and the educational records, and they combine them. And in the state of New Jersey, there's been a lot of cooperation among the medical educational authorities with Dr. Zaharodny and the people who are counting the rates of autism through the CDC's ADDM, the Autism and Developmental Disabilities Monitoring Network.
I see. Okay. So where does Bill de Blasio fit into all this? Is he still running for president?
No, he quit.
he's the New York City mayor.
But he is the New York City mayor. As far as state policy goes, he's not a major player. But New York is kind of it's sort of interesting in New York that a lot of the laws don't apply to New York City, right? And a lot of the things that are done by the state of New York, everywhere else in the state of New York, is done by the city of New York, right? Instead, So, but, you know, I mean, they kind of have their own health policies there. For example, like in New York City, they already require all children in preschool to get a flu shot to go to preschool and daycare, at least in daycare and preschools that are run by the city of New York or regulated by the city of New York. It gets a little complicated. Some are regulated by the state, and they're not required to do that. But that was a policy that was put in the last week of de Blasio's predecessor, but de Blasio has embraced it and, is kind of enforcing it with a pretty heavy hand. And he also, I think for the first time ever, basically declared vaccine-related martial law. If you recall, he declared a 4-zip code area of Brooklyn, which anybody who was not vaccinated against measles could be fined and forced to get a vaccine. And they actually enforced it. They I think, issued something like 1,000 summons related to that.
Did they actually, mandate adults get that vaccine as well?
Yes.
Now, I saw some scuttlebutt on Facebook, I don't know if it's true, but they were requiring or writing policy that preschool children get the HPV before being able to go to preschool, even though
that was a parody piece that was like, I saw it all over the place. That was not true. That was fake.
Okay, good. Thanks for clarifying that.
But we have a bill that we're quite worried about that would make HPV mandatory to go to school, and Gardasil mandatory to go to school. And there's also a bill to allow minors to quote-unquote consent to vaccines for sexually transmitted diseases without parental knowledge or consent, which means that a child as young as 9 could consent to Gardasil, and a child of any age.
Yeah, in California, they already have that rule, and it's 12 years old.
A 9-year-old or a 12-year-old can go into a CVS or a Walgreens and say, I want to get this medical procedure, this medical intervention, known as an HPV shot or a flu shot for that matter. But
the way the law is written, a child of any age, right, could get hepatitis B. Hepatitis B is legal, as you know, from birth on. So the way the New York law, as it's currently proposed, is written, theoretically a 4-year-old child could consent to a hepatitis vaccine without parental knowledge or consent.
That's why we should never leave our children alone with a medical practitioner.
Never.
Ever. So tell us what's going on in New York with lawsuits.
Okay, well, we had the lawyers. There's a group of lawsuits that's been filed by a group of 3 lawyers. That's one group of lawsuits. And then there is one lawsuit that has been filed by Michael Sussman, who's been working with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. and the Children's Health Defense on that lawsuit. And they come from sort of very different kind of arguments. And which I think is great, because I think they're sort of exploring different legal theories to try and get our kids back in school. The Sussman suit, it's basically making an argument that legislators in New York were primarily motivated by religious prejudice and animus in passing this law. And they submitted over 400 affidavits citing various examples of hostility that various people encountered. This also includes statements they've made in the media, on Facebook pages, and so on and so forth. And it's sort of a novel approach. It's been going through the courts. we were hoping that suit could be used to get a restraining order or a stay on the law to get our kids back in school. That didn't work. So our kids are still out of school, but that suit is going forward in the New York courts. The second group of lawsuits were filed by Jim Ramigas, who is an attorney here in New York, whose parents were kicked out of school, and Kevin Barry, who has been an activist for vaccine rights for quite a long time. And he is also the heads up a nonprofit called First Freedoms, which works not only for religious exemption rights, but a variety of religious liberty issues as well. And their argument that they're doing in their suit is a little bit different. They are going strictly on New York state constitution issues. And in the New York state constitution, there is a clause in our Bill of Rights here that says people have the right to religious liberty now and forever. And they are arguing that the repeal of the religious exemption is a violation of the state constitution. And they're also, our constitution also has a clause in it that says the state must provide a system of schools that all children of the state may attend.
Right? Okay.
And they're saying that excluding this group of children based on their religious exemption, their religious exemption status is a violation of that constitutional right as well.
And it's also discrimination.
Right. And so they try to use that also to get a stay on the, you know, enforcement of the repeal. That didn't work either. So basically it does not look like we're going to be able to get stays, and both groups of lawsuits are going to have to sort of fight their way through the courts to whatever conclusion they come to.
So what's the next step? Where are we in all this? When will we know more?
Well, I think the next for the New York State Constitution issue lawsuits with Ramigas and Barry, on the 29th, there's going to be sort of an interesting court date in Seneca, New York, right? And they are representing a group of Amish people in the Seneca area. There's a large Amish population, relatively speaking, in upstate New York. And this law has basically shut down the entire Amish school system. The vast majority of Amish people do not vaccinate. It appears that the vast majority of Amish people that don't vaccinate are not going to comply with this new law. And in essence, that has completely shut down their school system. Right? And what this law amounts to is they're basically telling the Amish is that basically you can no longer be Amish in the state of New York. Okay? You cannot practice your religion the way you have been practicing it without harassment from the secular authorities in the United States for the last 300 years. Okay? That is no longer allowed in the state of New York. Okay? And they are also saying that your schools have to be shut down as well, because if your kids are not vaccinated, even though it's a private school that only includes people from the Amish community, the vast majority of them still speak German or, you know, at home and in school, you cannot educate your kids together in your schools. So it's just this amazing, amazing assault on this community.
Yes.
Right? A community that has lived this way in the United States from the 1680s on, basically not bothering anybody. They came to America for religious liberty. They were fleeing persecution in Germany. They found the freedom to live their lives in accordance with how they understand what God wants them to do, beginning in Pennsylvania, and they've spread throughout the United States. They're in a whole bunch of states now. And after 300 years, Andrew Cuomo and the New York Democrats have decided that there is no room in New York anymore for the Amish. It's that severe.
That's insane. John, I have a big question.
Yeah.
Okay, so if your kids aren't going to school because they aren't vaccinated or they haven't gotten all those shots,
right?
It doesn't mean that, I mean, you have to have all of them to go to school. You might be behind one, and your parents refuse to let you do that. And
you have
so,
to be up to date on all of them.
Right, right, right. So they call you a unvaccinated person if you're just behind on one.
Right.
So what about truancy? Aren't you guys concerned with truancy?
Well, we're very concerned about that, right? And so basically what parents have to do, if they aren't going to comply with the law, they have to homeschool their children. And there's a whole, you know, regime of rules and correspondence that guides how you do that. And basically, they to avoid the truancy issue, it's not that hard, but parents must do some steps. They have to file what is called a letter of intent with their school district declaring that they will be homeschooling their children. Okay?
Yeah, I've
done that. Until they do that, even though the kids have been kicked out of school by the school, until the parents file the letter of intent, those are unexcused absences, which could lead eventually to some sort of truancy kind of action by the school and Child Protective Services.
And it must be notarized, is that right?
I don't know if it has to be notarized. I don't think it does, right? But you do have to file it within 2 weeks of the child leaving school. So if you file within 2 weeks, you should be okay. But you never know with New York. Local schools, local offices of Child Protective Services interpret things in a wide variety of ways in the state. So,
yeah. I think in California as well.
Yeah.
All right. So is there anything else you want to cover today?
Mike, you want to talk about the regions?
Yeah, so in New York State, we have something called, through our New York State Education Department, called the Board of Regents, and they make education policy in the state. Our education policy doesn't come from the legislature. It comes from this Board of Regents, and their districts are the same as our judicial districts in New York State. And what the Regents has done, we have a law in New York State that they passed called the Dignity for All Students Act, and the Regents has issued emergency orders in the past saying that because of a couple transgender students, it's a violation of the Dignity for All Students Act. Well, we've been trying to get the Regents to do that same thing to make sure that these kids get back into school, because what happens in these communities is that these kids get kicked out of school, and then everybody knows who they are. They'll say, oh, they're those anti-vaxxers, and kids get bullied, and then kids don't get invited to birthday parties, and all the downstream effect of that. But what we've been doing with the Regents in the since this bill passed, we've been trying to engage them. We had a meeting back in July. The deputy commissioner at the time, Beth Berlin, she met with us. We kind of disrupted the meeting a little bit because they didn't put it on the agenda. And we had a discussion a couple weeks later. John and myself had a private meeting with her attorney, and the director of special education for New York State. And we said, look, by having the 950 school districts across the state of New York comply with this state law, you're in direct violation of IDEA, the federal law on education, for those kids who have IEPs and 504 plans. So they agreed with us, actually, in the meeting.
And
they
FAPE.
Agreed with us. Well, here's the thing. And with FAPE, certainly if you have to homeschool your kid, it's certainly not the least restrictive environment, right?
Right.
So what has happened with this is that these school districts are being told to comply with state law, knowing that they're in violation of federal law, and yet not much is really happening on that front. So I've been advising parents, not as a lawyer, but just as an advocate, to say, hey, if you're upset with this, file complaints as a parent. You know, file a complaint with the U.S. Department of Education Office of Civil Rights. I sued them successfully with my school district over 10 years ago because they weren't providing occupational therapy services, and they were billing Medicaid, thieving all the services from Medicaid for all these kids and then not delivering the services. But, you know, we need to get the attention of people at the federal level to understand and really to overwhelm their offices administratively with these complaints and letting them know that, hey, look, New York State is in violation of IDEA. We estimated that about 33 to 50% of the 26,000 kids who were thrown out of school are classified under IDEA. They're kids with IEPs or 504 plans. So we saw a lot of parents over the summer who to those kids with severe autism who have summer school programs that were already in place. So the bill passed on June 13th. It went into effect immediately. 95% of the summer IEPs, those 12-month IEPs, were in place before June 13th, because that comes into the end of the school year. Well, you know, these schools kicked these thousands of kids with IEPs, kicked them out of school over the summer. They had nowhere to go. The parents had to quit their jobs. The parents are now in social services. Families are being ripped apart. I know a lot of people have for sale signs on their homes right now. And then the way that families are getting ripped apart, it's kind of a gender-neutral equation between moms and dads. But you have cases where the fathers don't want to vaccinate and the mother does to get the kid back in school. And then you have the exact opposite where the mother's like, we're not doing this. The father's like, we need our kids in school. And, you know, they're having these horrific challenges for families. But the fact is, I come back to what I said at the beginning of the program, these administrators are committing medical malpractice. They're acting as treating physicians when they've never been in that capacity with the person that that they're kicking out of school and essentially saying that they're going to make the decision and not the child's treating physician. We don't believe that they have legal authority to do so. And these are the other areas where we've identified probably about 10 different areas that are really ripe for lawsuits right now that need to be challenged in the courts. I wish we all had more resources and more attorneys and all that kind of stuff filing all these. But it's just been really a challenge right now. And what we're trying to do in Albany, not only with the regents and with the legislature, is to, you know, make some amendments to this, especially to get these kids back in school. So we're showing up to the regents meeting. It's right next to the Capitol. It's a 30-yard walk from the front doors of the Capitol. They barricaded the doors last month when we went. It was just a couple weeks ago. They not only barricaded the doors, they put plywood over the doors on top of it. And, you know, we went over to the Capitol. We got some media coverage with some parents who not only had their medical exemptions denied, but that the state education commissioner had denied their appeal. And so there's a lot of challenges going forward. We're going to keep, we're going to keep the political pressure on them, and we're going to keep educating all those fence sitters. There's so many people who are not in the same agreement as many of us in the autism community when it comes to vaccines, but they're very much against the HPV, and they're very much against the flu shot mandates.
Or just a violation on our Constitution.
Well, it's a blatant violation. I guess the real challenge is there any real oversight or accountability within our judiciary? That seems to be one of the big problems right now. Our courts are just so corrupt and broken right now that we're going to have to win this in the court of public opinion if we're ever going to win it in the courts. And so we have to fight these things intelligently and on multiple fronts at the same time. And, you know, with one hand tied behind our back, if you will, there's a lot of challenges going on. And right now we're just trying to really encourage people not to lose hope. There's been a lot of very, very dark days for people, and not to lose hope. And our walk yesterday, it was so inspiring to see parents who've been so beat down over the summer. It's been such a challenge on many of them. to show up. And I mean, there was 500 families there and so many little kids having a good time. There was a lot of activities for the kids, kids on the spectrum, you know, kids going on, you know, rides on horses and all that kind of stuff. And it was a good break for the families. And I'm really, really grateful that we were able to do it. And the amount of outpouring from volunteers and all of the parents during the walk, you know, saying next year we should do this and I can help you out next year and I can help with this and that. And it was just, it was beautiful. And I'm really encouraged that we're going to be able to grow our advocacy efforts over the next couple months. And quite frankly, we have to if we're going to get these kids back in school and fight this just disgusting state government that we have with one-party rule in New York State right now.
Okay, so if we wanted to support your cause, who could we send money to? Where can we donate?
AutismActionNetwork.org.
Perfect.
Go there and yep, right there on the homepage. That's where people could donate if they.
Well, I'm telling you guys, I can sleep a little better at night knowing that you guys are whooping some booty over there. I'm really thankful.
That's kind of you. We
that's
we have
we
a lot more booty to whip.
There you go. If I could just add one more thing that's really on a positive note of what we're doing in the upcoming session. You know, I worked on a bill. We kind of did this on the quiet side last year, but we passed this bill. It was signed into law by the governor. And what it does is it directs the five of the big state agencies to do a cost analysis and study on the cost of autism to New York State. Those agencies are our New York State Education Department, our Department of Health, our Office of People with Developmental Disabilities that handles a lot of the Medicaid waiver programs and so on, Office of Mental Health, and Office of Children and Family Services. So they're all going to have to do a report on the cost of autism. The fact is they're not really able to measure it because New York State doesn't have those mechanisms in place to do basic epidemiology. So we're trying to do that. That was one of the appeals that I made in my documentary. But what we're doing going forward into this legislative session on that front is making them aware of the different data sets. And one of the things not only covered in my documentary, but what I've been showing the legislators with the data sets that within the next decade, the cost of autism in the United States is going to annually is going to surpass the annual cost of Social Security. And so those are some really sobering numbers that should kind of wake people up. Hey, autism alone costs more than Social Security. That's where we're headed. The other data set was showing that within about really the next two-year cycle, that the cost of autism in New York State is going to is at a level that is 10% of the state's own budget that they passed in April. So we have a huge problem right now. We have massive cuts to service programs and that sort of thing. And we have a governor who simply doesn't, you know, he really seems to have utter disdain for people with disabilities. Since he's been in office the last 8-9 years, he's cut our funding to the Office of People with Developmental Disabilities by over 31%, while overall state spending has gone up about 25%.
And what's his name?
Andrew Cuomo.
Cuomo, okay.
And, you know, so, but this bill that worked, this bill that passed that we got the governor to sign, it just seems like a report coming back, but I would say this to people in all states. These legislators have, you know, 10,000 issues. We have over 10,000 bills a year that are introduced in New York State. We have to get a focus on this issue. And we had it years ago, and we got a lot done in many states. But in order to get a focus on this issue, I think we have to show them the cost and the impact. And I think this bill will do it when the five big state agencies realize the tsunami that is upon them right now. Hopefully we'll get more action from the legislature and more attention on this issue, the attention that it deserves. As you know, Candace, the fastest growing developmental disability, you know, over the past few decades. And we have to get them to focus on it for the future of our kids.
Absolutely. Michael, thank you for all you do. John, thank you.
Great. You're welcome.
So do you have any upcoming events?
Well, there is the Amish trial that we were talking about earlier in the 29th in Seneca, New York. And we have a monthly meeting of the New York Regents, which will be on November 4th up in Albany on Monday. And it's usually, I believe, the first Monday of the month. And we're going to be mobilizing around that.
Perfect.
So those
and that meeting on the 4th, anybody listening from the state of New York, is so important to attend in Albany. And it's not just the Regents meeting. We're going to go over to the Capitol. We're going to have a press conference. We have a lot of press interested in this issue, where we're seeing a little bit of a tipping point where a lot of the press who was very hostile against us has been giving us remarkably fair media coverage lately, especially on this issue of the medical exemptions being denied.
Well, it's a big issue. It's a very big issue. It's not just, you know, religious freedom, it's medical freedom. So, all right. Anything else, guys?
That's probably enough.
All right, John. Thank you, Michael.
Thanks a lot,
Candace. All right, Candace, thank you very much. Good talking to you.
You guys have an awesome day. Talk to you soon.
Okay,
bye.
Bye-bye.